from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wah-ha-ha.
Hey, welcome in, Danny and Dusty. This is the, the split show. Eugene in Portland. Merengue-tang Hera split show. I'm down in Eugene. Went to Ducks practice this morning, getting ready for Boise State to come in town. You're back home.
I am back home in the cozy confines of the studio where temperature in the studio has been reduced to 64 degrees.
It's going to be hot today. I can't remember a time where we have had such a drastic turnaround. You know, like of weather where it's been like rainy and like dreary and kind of cold. And then all of a sudden, furnace back on.
Sun just breaks through. Yeah.
Oh, my
It's the greatness. I loved it this morning. So I was telling Ortner when I came in this morning, I did something this morning that I haven't done in over 5 years.
What's that?
I went for a quasi run. went for a jog this morning. So
no way.
Yeah, I've been building towards this for the last couple of weeks, and I told my wife last night when we were out for a walk, and I go, hey, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to start just close to the house, and that way if something happens, it's a short trip back.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does a quasi-run look like?
I can't physically, like, actually get to a even more than 3/4 speed.
Okay.
Like, physically incapable of doing it because I don't have the mobility in my hips or my knees to, like, actually drive down. Like, that's still...
Okay.
Still what we're working with.
Were you planning on sprinting?
No, but I can't, like, again, I'm not trying to get to the fastest.
Are you
speed
saying
possible.
That you can't get into a stride? Like
yeah,
a
I can't.
Normal
I,
stride.
No, okay. I can't get into a full stride.
Even like a jogging stride.
I can get like a probably two.
I have so many questions, obviously. It's like
2/3 of a stride.
All right.
So,
all right, hey, we're getting there.
Everybody knows. I've had hip surgeries and knee surgeries.
It's the it's the shuffle.
It's slightly more than a shuffle. Like I can get my shins parallel to the ground.
Hey,
like the kickback.
Yeah.
So
hey, we're golf clapping that.
Yeah.
That is such big progress from where you were when we started this show and had your hip surgery and you were bedridden for like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's awesome, dude. That's good.
So,
quasi running.
Yeah,
and now we know what quasi running is too.
And I just under a mile this morning. It was like I think the watch said 0.85 or 0.86 when it was done.
There you go.
We'll see how we feel tomorrow, though.
That's more than I've run.
That's this year. That's the test. That's the test. It's like it was fun when I was out there. I was like, I can't get my on the kickback. Like I couldn't get my shins past parallel with the ground. It was like that, my quads are so tight. They're like, nope, we're not getting there even after stretching, buddy. So
hey, well, good.
But baby steps.
That is. So you said 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a lot.
That's awesome, man.
I viscerally remember the last time because my wife and I used to go for runs 3 times a week. And I remember the last time we went for a run, we were in Beaverton by the Hoop, Arctic Circle right back there. And I remember running and my right leg feeling like it was 5 inches shorter than my left. And it was such a weird feeling. It turned out my right leg was actually almost 3 inches shorter than my left leg because of all the hip damage. But it was like peg leg running, and I just couldn't. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, I stopped and I looked at her, and she's like, you okay? I go, it doesn't really hurt. It just feels really awkward. And I've been noticing that the last couple of weeks that it's been getting progressively worse. And I go, I'm going to run back and forth, like away from you and at you, and tell me if it looks like I'm falling to the side. And I did. And she goes, yeah, it looks really weird. I go, okay, cool. It's not just me like feeling like there's some weird imbalance. And it bothered
like
me.
Like a chair with one leg.
Yeah.
Sure. You're just kind of wobbling back and forth.
Yeah. And it was like, am I running in a circle kind of a deal? Like it was just like, but that was the last time I ran because it was so uncomfortable. And like it was very, very, very difficult to do. And that was the last time we did it. So it was just like, I don't know what to do with this.
We've got a lot of new names coming in for what you were doing on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Danny out there doing the lineman shuffle, that from P1 Rufio.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
It was a little bit more than that. We were picking them up and putting them down.
Danny looking like a speedwalker when he runs.
See, I can't do that.
Speedwalker, that's too much hips.
It's too much
hips.
That's all hips. Yeah,
that's all hips.
Yeah, no, see, I can't go there. We're picking them up and putting them down. If you're thinking of like a visual, think of like military formation jog.
So a march?
Yeah, that's relatable.
No. Just like
that's
no, when
what
you watch,
I thought too.
No, when you watch movies, not
lift,
the march.
Lift.
No.
Okay.
You're worried. Slightly faster cadence.
You're worried about somebody kicking you in front of you, so you don't extend very far.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Yeah.
There you go.
Another text on the Vancouver Ford text line, Dusty. It's Q-Wave saying jogging. Quasi-running,
yeah.
That is jogging. You went jogging. And then Spartan Bro coming in with Danny Boy went on a jog in his Little Giants bubble wrap this morning.
That's about right.
I can just imagine that. Just like you're stretching, you're getting ready to go, and then you just wrap on the bubble wrap. Here we go.
It was interesting. I was the guy in the neighborhood that was doing a lot of the salutes.
Mm.
A lot of head tips. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Well, I hear that's what they do. Like when you drive a Jeep, right? There's the Jeep wave where they give you like a Scouts honor kind of a little salute thing.
Oh, that sounds like a cult.
They do ducks too.
It 100% sounds like a cult.
Yeah.
But if you see a person driving a Jeep, you got to give them like the, hey, what's up? Is that really, that's the thing, right?
I'm not a part of Jeep culture.
I believe
culture,
the Jeep wave too is a thing. And what? The ducks?
You give ducks. So like if you see someone in like a real Jeep, a Jeep Wrangler, you have a duck. And you put the duck on their Jeep. And then they keep the duck and they also have another duck. And then they put it on your Jeep. It's a duck thing.
Yeah, no, see, I'm just used to the military.
Yeah, that sounds like Texas A&M.
Yeah, that sounds very cult-like. I just like giving everybody the one-finger salute.
Wow. See, this is why your neighbors have problems with you.
My neighbors love me. I'm talking about the cult that I'm in, the military. When I see the crayon-eating license plate of the Marines, I just smile and give them the bird.
Dang. Crayon-eating license plate of the Marines. Mm. And you wanted people to support the troops in for the Commander-in-Chief trophy, and you are calling another branch crayon-eaters.
I mean, they don't eat flavors, they eat colors. Fight me, Marines.
Okay.
You do know I'm right.
I do take issue with like the flavor grape, flavor
as opposed to the color purple.
It's the flavor purple because it doesn't taste like a grape.
No,
that's purple flavor.
Nothing
is
further from the description of taste than purple drinks.
Yeah,
there's nothing remotely grape about it. Like, what with the grape medicine? It's like what? No.
No. I will say, if I'm power ranking the ones furthest off, I'll say grape, then watermelon. And that, because like a watermelon bubblegum,
Ooh, I don't know. Watermelon like Bubblicious has got strong watermelon hints.
It's an elite flavor, but I don't associate it with actual watermelon, though. You know, I think.
Okay.
Can we agree? Like
strawberry is the strongest correlation, or lemon.
Yeah, lemon, and then oranges too. They do a pretty good job with orange.
Yeah, the citrus definitely comes through, and like I said, the strawberry because it's such a strong flavor, it comes through.
Yeah.
Anytime it's like mixed berry, those are always kind of like, eh.
Yeah. They made scented markers, right? You remember
those scented
markers?
Do
those are great.
Those? Yeah, I'm kidding.
Huffin' Markers was fantastic, but they should have made flavored crayons.
I mean, they do. Ask the Marines.
Technically, there is a flavor to a crayon if you eat it.
It's wax.
It's a Vancouver Vortex line. Best color is yellow.
Best color is yellow.
Mm. See?
All right. We do have clarification. Yes, the Wave is a thing. I just got a Jeep a month ago and still waiting to get a duck. I heard Jeeps also hide, like when the manufacturer, when they're built, they hide a like an animal on your car somewhere. Like, I don't know, it's like etched in. Does that make sense? Like an animal is etched in somewhere on your car. That could be like a frog or a lizard or a bear.
Hmm.
And you have to like find it.
And then what?
I don't know, but the more and more I'm learning about Jeeps, the more and more I think that they're the car equivalent to the Highlights magazine in the dentist's office. You know?
Mm.
You have the Wave, you got the search for the animal somewhere on there.
Yeah, this sounds all very weird. Thing. Maybe just make a car that's not weird.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I don't want my car to be a cult.
I do like Jeeps, though. I think they're cool. I think Jeeps are cool.
Every time I see one that says, like, the upside-down text, if upside-down, flip over, it's always like, okay, come on. You've never taken this thing off-roading once in your life. Please stop. Please stop.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good reminder for any car.
Sure.
You know, if my car is ever tipped over, please.
It's
come
like
help me out.
The guy that spends $20,000 on the suspension and never takes it off the street. It's like,
yes.
Why do you have 13 inches of travel on your suspension and you're driving on Highway 99? Like, the potholes are not that bad.
Well, I mean, you never know, though. You never know. Traffic can get really bad and you might have to off-road somewhere.
Might have to hit the shoulder.
That may be, like, the most intrusive thought in my brain.
Almost did it on the way here.
Is
I had a guy going
when,
48 and a 55 in the fast lane, and I wanted to kill him.
Oh, see, that's brutal. But when you're in traffic, just being like, I could just go around all this.
Mm-hmm. Motorcycles
that,
do.
That is an intrusive thought in my brain that happens daily.
I've seen people do it.
Daily.
I've seen people do it. Just screw it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get mad at them for a second, then I'm like, I could do that too. I could do it. I could do it.
You would do it.
I've never done it. Like I know this sounds so contrary to who I am, but I am a, like, for the most part, color within the lines guy.
A rule follower.
I am a rule follower for the most part.
You just don't like the rules that you follow.
Sometimes they just and like he's like, oh, the speed limit. I'm like, I don't drive that fast everywhere. Like, it's not. I don't drive crazy. I don't bob in and out of traffic. I don't change lanes 18 different times. I usually just sit in the fast lane and do, you know, 8 to 9 over everywhere.
Yeah.
But I see people doing the most, like this morning, the guy doing 48 and a 55 in the fast lane. I wanted to murder him. Like, if you're thinking, did he say out loud, I really wish I could pit maneuver this guy? Yes. Yes, I did.
Mm.
In my car. God, I want to pit maneuver this guy so bad. As I'm driving,
don't drive slow in the fast lane.
It's a public service announcement for everybody. It's such a jerk thing to do.
Yeah, it really is. It's not fun, and nobody likes being behind you in that situation. So we just need to stop that. All right, we've got a sports show today, or we can just talk traffic. I mean, that's okay.
Because it's about the time because school's back. So
actually, there is one other thing about that.
Mm.
Have you ever been behind the guy who does like the wild thing? Like this texture says that's called a Texas off ramp.
Oh, yeah.
When you just kind of go off, right? And when you see somebody like go around traffic and then you end up seeing them like when you get off of the road, you're like, hey, I remember that car. And they immediately in my mind, the first thing is, oh, that person has to poop. right? Like, that person's got to use the restroom.
There's something there.
They've got an emergency situation. They've got to, they got to go to the bathroom. Then it's like, maybe they're going to the hospital. I don't know.
Look, and if you're talking like actual life or death situations, hospital and or pooping.
Yeah.
I would do anything.
There have been two times where I've had a car, you know, just like weaving, driving erratically, going on the shoulder, just going around people, just being a jerk. There have been two times that I have seen them and it was not an emergency situation by any means. One time I saw them in a Taco Bell drive-thru when I got off the off-ramp.
Oh,
they
wow.
just apparently wanted...
They wanted a double-decker taco.
They wanted to live Moss so hard that they had to put other people's lives at risk. Mm. The other time was I saw this dude. He was just in the grocery store, and he looked about exactly the way I thought he would. He was wearing like a tracksuit, full-on tracksuit. He had his sunglasses on the back of his head, and he was just that, like, he just
a giant
went to the Safeway. Yeah, and he was just like in the Safeway. I was like, man, you were just driving like a complete a-hole just so you could come to the grocery store. No.
That sounds about right.
No, that makes me very upset when I realize, and it's only happened to me twice, that the people doing that is just for nothing more than they just thought their time meant more than everybody else's. Right? Like, nobody wants to be in traffic, but that doesn't mean you just drive like a jerk. Come on, people. Come on, a little decorum. There are rules here. There are rules. All right, sports show today. We went college heavy yesterday, and boy, did we have a lot of college to college about.
So much college.
It was awesome.
It's a pivot though.
Yeah, because the NFL season is one sleep away, and we got a lot of news out of the National Football League. A couple week one injuries. We have guys returning to practice amidst holdouts, and we've got a little bit of college that we need to touch on, too, because we have a rivalry that is so back based on the quotes.
Love
but where we start
it.
Is in the NFL. He's back. And it opens a window for one team. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
It is a wrestling Wednesday today, so we got Will Ortner following the rules, playing the tunes. Wrestling Wednesday. I absolutely love Wrestling Wednesdays every single time it happens. Jamar Chase back at practice for the Cincinnati Bengals today. That's good news. That's good news.
I would say it's getting your second most important player back. It's probably a good thing.
I mean, if you were talking about, and we've had several discussions about this over the course of this offseason, right? The value of a receiver and how much guys are getting paid. And you and I both agree that a percentage of the cap, there's a threshold for a receiver and his value
Indeed.
To your team, right? But I think that you have certain circumstances in single one-off years where if you're not paying your quarterback, it's okay to pay that guy for this year and have a big cap number for a year if you don't pay a quarterback. But I think that if you're looking at a team in the actual true value of a receiver, I really think there's only two guys in the NFL that truly make a noticeable impact on a game and could determine game outcomes. Jamar Chase is one of them, and his importance to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in their offense. When it comes to playing elite teams and beating elite teams, Ja'Marr Chase is one and Justin Jefferson is the other. I think outside of those two guys, there isn't a team that or a singular wide receiver that has that kind of impact. Your guy, like Davante Adams with the Raiders, he's really damn close to being like one of those guys.
I think it would make more sense with a quarterback who was worth a damn.
A competent quarterback, yes. But in kind of like your aspirations for winning this season, but I think both Minnesota and Cincinnati have that. Mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase being on the field is of the utmost importance for Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, was asked today after practice and Chase being back out on the field how they felt about his readiness for week one. And he said, we'll see. We're not there yet. That is the most terrifying thing about Ja'Marr Chase and his holdout. It's the most terrifying thing if you're a fan of the San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk's holdout or CeeDee Lamb with the Dallas Cowboys and his holdout. The fact that those guys, the ramp up that they will need, hamstrings, soft tissue, I've been banging this drum for over a month now. They must ramp up and you have to take it slow. I think the one thing that the Bengals can benefit from, though, they got the Patriots week one.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You could win that game without Ja'Marr Chase.
You can, but can you get up to speed fast enough to go to Kansas City in week two?
Now,
and that's the question, because their schedule is set up really well for them, with the exception of the Chiefs, because they have the Patriots, Chiefs, Commanders, Panthers in their first four games.
Commanders going to be they're tough little out.
Sure, and I'm with you there. Like, that's my dark horse to win the NFC East. But if you're talking about a team from the AFC North, who, again, you play in the most difficult division in football, your offense is going to be predicated on Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow because, well, you don't have guys there anymore in the backfield.
You got T. Higgins.
Look, I love T. I think he's great. But who's in the backfield? Zach Moss is not Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. You can't lean on him like you... Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can lean on Zach Moss, but you don't know you can. Joe Mixon, you know you could. He could win you games. And so
he was electric out of the backfield, as a receiving threat.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I look at that and I go, yeah, you can get by the Patriots. They're terrible. They may not win a game this year. They may be a one-win, two-win team.
Hey, thank you. They'll peel one off.
But you know what I mean?
Miami will probably come up late in the year and not need a win and suck in the cold. Yeah.
But Chase, Higgins, Gesicki, like that, even if you don't have Ja'Marr out there, Higgins, Gesicki, like that's enough to get you by the Patriots. Is it enough to get you a win against the Chiefs? Does it matter in the grand scheme if you don't beat the Chiefs in week two, because what you are in week two is not who you are in week 18? There's a lot of different ways you can look at that. But the decision that Bengals made 3 years ago, to go with Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell means the ramifications down the roster are different in that I don't think they made the wrong or the right choice. I think you got both were the right choices for whether it's Detroit or Cincinnati in those situations.
Man, you made it. You made it to a Super Bowl.
Yes, and with those choices, you've set yourself up for. Yes, if it was let's reverse situation. If it was Penei Sewell holding out and he was on the Bengals, would that be a problem? Yeah, but if you had a great wide receiver, you can kind of overcome that a little bit. Now, can T. Higgins elevate up? Can Jermaine Burton elevate up? Can, Andre Iosivas move up? Like, it's like, that's a little bit different.
The pride of Stanford, Trent Irwin, isn't he on that team?
Oh, he did make the cut. Yeah, I think he's wide receiver 6.
Hell yeah.
But again, you're asking guys to step up, and we're talking about a world where wide receiver development is better than it's ever been, so I guess you're going to be more comfortable with that. But is a week enough to get Ja'Marr Chase up to speed? And I just don't think it is.
I don't think so. And this will be the multi-million-dollar question for Cincinnati, though. As they enter week one, wouldn't expect to see Ja'Marr Chase, but how close is he? How ready is he? And now, to his credit, He has been at doing a hold in where he has been around the facilities. He has just not been practicing. So they've actually got the ability to have a closer eye on him and actually what he's doing day to day as far as his workouts have been concerned. But you still don't want to just throw a guy out there and be like, hey, go be twitchy, because that's the worst thing that can happen is he pulls a hamstring and then all of a sudden, quite literally, your entire season gets derailed if he pulls his hamstring, because that's a lingering injury that will last for a while.
And he's so important to what they do.
Yep.
That,
man,
if you make that, and again, that's what makes the margins for error for the Bengals. I still really like this team. Like, this is a team that if I'm picking somebody in the AFC other than the Chiefs, I believe so much in Burrow and Chase that it's like, it's hard for me to really pick against them if they're healthy, but because of the margins for error are so thin, how close can you play this to the vest with Chase and getting him ready in time, managing whether or not it's worth it to have him play against the Chiefs?
You know what we don't talk about enough?
Mm.
Like when you were mentioning that decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. That was like the pivot point decision of the draft. Both of those teams can claim home runs,
yes,
wins.
Absolutely.
Cincinnati, you go to a Super Bowl. Detroit, you now have a tackle for a lifetime, and you are in a Super Bowl window. We do not talk enough about how good that draft was because of how bad Zach Wilson and Trey Lance were. Those were the number 2 and 3 picks. Let me read you the rest of the top 10 from that 2021 draft. Number 1 overall, Trevor Lawrence. Number 4, Kyle Pitts. Number 5, Ja'Marr Chase. Number 6, Jalen Waddle. 7th, Penei Sewell. 8th, J.C. Horn. 9th, Patrick Surtain, just got paid today. 10th, Devontae Smith. And then 11th, it's the quarterbacks that bring it down. 11th, Micah Parsons. 12th, Rashawn Slater. That is an incredible. If you take the quarterbacks out of it, that is an incredible, incredible draft.
It's decent. It's decent.
I mean, holy smokes! Like the hits were home runs, and the whiffs were absolutely astronomical. Think about that: Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. Also, you have Kadarius Toney being a first round pick in that draft.
Oof.
Is Alex Leatherwood still on the Raiders?
No, God, no.
Alex Leatherwood was the 17th overall pick.
That was the being smart, trying to be smarter than everybody in the room pick.
I mean,
I hated that pick so much.
Those, talk about a boom or bust draft. I don't think in recent memory, we have a draft that is that black and white. Whether you just knocked it out of the park or, boy, you fell flat on your face.
What's interesting is the back half of that first round was not nearly as good.
No, it wasn't good at all.
It just, like, honestly, when you get to the Raiders, it kind of falls off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, you can go to Zaven Collins in Arizona, too. Like, I think you can say at 16?
Yeah.
Pick 16?
15. Mac Jones.
Oh yeah, Matt. Whoa, God. Yep. How can we forget
the
Mac
first
Jones
14 picks? Though that's pretty damn good outside of Wilson and Lance.
Outside of Fields. Outside of quarterbacks, pretty good.
Yeah.
Really
position
good.
Players. I mean,
wow.
Multiple Pro Bowlers. You've got a likely Hall of Famer in Parsons. A likely Hall of Famer probably in Surtain. A likely Hall of Famer in Penei Sewell.
That's pretty dang
That's
good.
That's pretty dang good. You know what that reminds me of is the, what is it, the 2008? No. There was a draft where there was a period where the Raiders, for I don't want to say 3 straight years, 2 players after the Raiders picked were Hall of Famers. And it was just like, was it?
It's okay.
It's 07 with Jamarcus.
We can definitely say that it was not the case this year.
Yeah, no, because Jamarcus, they had both players that were picked after Jamarcus were Calvin Johnson and Joe Thomas.
Yeah. 2021, Jalen Phillips went right after Alex Leatherwood. So unless he turns it around.
Yeah, thank God.
I think you're safe now.
Thank God.
I think you're safe now. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford Texan. Let's stay in the NFL because there's some interesting texts that are coming in on the Vancouver Ford text line. They're the missing weapons in some places. Mm-hmm. You sparked this with Joe Mixon. The AFC North has got some weapons issues for sure. Mm-hmm. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Here's Will with SportsCenter.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Danny, you sparked my interest when you mentioned the Joe Mixon departure in Cincinnati.
Oh, I'll spark it up.
And what that means, because we had a texter, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb might prove to be the largest missing weapons in all of football. Look, that may be what determines the AFC North, which is going to be a gauntlet. I think that if out of the preseason, if you look at it and you say, all right, who has the clear disadvantage in that division? It's Pittsburgh out of the gate just because of their quarterback situation and being the worst quarterback play in that division. But when you think of the war of attrition that football is and injuries happening, and especially in that division where there's so much physicality, how does Pittsburgh always find a way and end up being relevant? Well, it's because they can either stay healthy or a rash of injuries somewhere else. And with Nick Chubb being out, they're looking at Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong and Dante Foreman are their three running backs this year. Not the greatest situation to be in the run game. You look at Cincinnati and what you just outlined, right? With Joe Mixon being out, how long does the ramp up for Ja'Marr Chase? Their weapons still seem to be pretty dang good, and they bolstered their offensive line. They've got a really good offensive line because I think one of the sneaky additions that they made was Trent Brown, who left New England and is now in Cincinnati. Trent Brown at your right tackle, Orlando Brown is your left tackle. You drafted Austin Mims out of Georgia in the first round, and he's a backup for you.
And that dude is so big.
Ted Karras is your center with Kappa at your right guard still. Like, they are protecting Joe Burrow, finally. But the weapons are going to be really interesting because weapons might prove to be the separator. Because what has been the last handful of years the Achilles heel for the Baltimore Ravens?
The inability to push the ball down the field because they haven't had anybody.
Well, that and your running backs, when you don't have receivers,
your running backs get hurt,
whether it's Gus Edwards or J.K. Dobbins. Mark Andrews got hurt last year, and he's finally back. Like, if you look at Baltimore on the surface, Zay Flowers and being that guy who can be that vertical threat, right? You have Derrick Henry in your backfield, who has just been a battering ram and a beacon of health over his entire career. And now you have Mark Andrews healthy, Nelson Aguilar to stretch a team vertically and then drop a deep ball, but you have to respect his speed. Like, you sit there and you go, Baltimore's set up pretty damn well right now for Lamar Jackson and company, but where will injuries lead them at some point this season? Your weapons and the injuries in the AFC North are going to play a massive, massive role.
And that's the thing is, you take a look at the – we'll talk about some Super Bowl contenders later on in the show. And I think this is going to factor into this a ton. You take a look at the – around the NFL, and the first contenders that pop to mind are the likely subjects, right? It's the Chiefs. It's the 49ers. It's the Bengals. It's, hell, the Lions. It's the Texans. It's the Bills. But what's interesting is, with the exception of probably the 49ers, who do have all the weapons, but maybe
all the weapons.
As good as Purdy is, he's not Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen. That's the trade-off, right? Some of these teams are missing pretty significant chunks of what kind of makes them who they are. When I say the Buffalo Bills, you think Josh Allen, then who?
I think of Josh Allen, and then immediately after him,
Dalton Kincaid?
Your tight end? Keon Coleman. Look, they've got, and I think Shakir's going to be good, right?
But it's such a stark
it's
difference.
It's not Stephon Diggs. It's not like you're like, Stephon Diggs, boom, right there.
Gabe Davis being your third guy, you know, it's a very, there's like one weapon has been snatched from so many teams. Like, everybody says Nick Chubb's going to come back for the Browns, and it's like, cool, that's awesome. I'm rooting for the guy. But I watched the guy's leg turn backwards. You're telling me he's going to be the same?
Yeah.
It's hard science for me to believe that until I see him go out there and do it
computers
for 3-4 weeks, that he's going to be the same guy that he was. And he was a hell of a running back. I mean, we're already starting to see, you know, Saquon starting to slow down. Those guys, when they just start getting dinged up at that position, it's tough. And you look at the Bengals. They're going to be without Chase, I would imagine, for the first 2 weeks at minimum, right? So that sets you back a little bit with the Bengals.
I think you're just going to miss. I think you're going to see him out this week. I bet he's in by Kansas City.
In limited 60% capacity.
Maybe.
He's not out there running his usual 50 snaps.
They're going to check and take inventory on it, but I bet we see him, yeah, 60% majority of the snaps offensively he'll play for, but a ramp up of sorts, yeah.
But my point being, like, you look around the NFL at all these contenders, and there's just been like this little removal of a weapon or two, or there's been some slight tweak or some slight change, which is interesting because the Kansas City Chiefs are going for something no team in NFL history has done, which is the three-peat. And they're going to do it with a receiver core of who? You know,
well, that could be their big downfall. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually that will be a down. I mean, I'm not counting the Kansas City Chiefs out, but they've been flirting with this, and you know, Rashee Rice suspended.
Yeah.
You have Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy.
And Hollywood
Travis
Brown's already
Kelsey,
been ruled out because he's injured.
Juju Smith-Schuster, mm-hmm, and Sky Moore.
I mean,
you got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelsey, and then Isaiah Pacheco out of that backfield. Like, that's one of the things that does not get discussed nearly enough about Kansas City, is that injury luck matters so much in a, mm-hmm, Super Bowl run. I mean, and it truly is. It's injury luck. And they have been riding high with getting guys back at the right time. Like last year, we thought, hey, this is going to be it. You don't have Joe Tooney in your lineup, right? Get him back right when it, mm-hmm, mattered the most, right? They have been wildly lucky with injury. And then, oh, by the way, having the best quarterback in the NFL definitely helps.
And that's the thing that patches over all of this is that yep, quarterback play. But you are seeing, even among the best teams, that there has been a subtraction. With the exception of probably the 49ers, only because they have a quarterback who's making less than $1 million.
That's right. And they're going to have to pay the piper at some point, but this is why they want to keep that window open for 2 years if they can, right? This is the exact reason why, is because they know they won't be able to do it after, you know, 2 years down the road. You have to keep this thing open for 2 years. And that's why when Brandon Ayuk opened his mouth yesterday, he said the quiet part out loud. Hmm. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
You ask, you shall receive. I saw this from Orange O Guy, who is our wrestling insider. Play Undertaker, Will. Guess what he got? He got it on cue, next bump back, Undertaker. I loved The Undertaker so much.
Who didn't?
Paul Bearer is one of the, I think I've said this before, Paul Bearer is one of the very first people that truly gave me the creeps.
Mm.
Like as a kid, like where I remember just feeling like, oh, like, yeah, he gave me the creeps, something fierce. Paul Bearer.
And that's not Paul Bear as in B-E-A-R.
No, he's Paul Bearer.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Who apparently was a nice guy.
I mean, it's like the same thing with Undertaker and Stone Cold. They're actually genuinely like nice dudes.
Yeah, but Piper used to always play it up no matter where he was. He would he would be like, if I'm going to be the heel, I got
to
be the heel.
Yeah, you
I
have
to be the heel.
You got
to
lean in.
Yeah, we got to make sure it's not a gimmick for the kids out there. I got to be mean to these children, which would be a nice little life hack to have. Right? Gives you an excuse just to be mean to kids. You know, you don't have to be nice to them at all,
which is great.
It is great. Brandon Ayuk back at practice for the San Francisco 49ers. We're talking about the soft tissue injuries, how it could be a concern for Ja'Marr Chase or CeeDee Lamb. Brandon Ayuk, obviously, with a long holdout in San Francisco, he is one of the guys at the center of, all right, can he stay healthy now that the holdout is over? All these guys say hey, I've been staying in shape, I've been working out.
It's a different kind of shape.
It really is, because there is something real about the fear of somebody else hitting you with all their force that it makes you run a little bit different, right? Right? And even in practice where you could be going thud tempo, that fear of contact I guess fear may not be a good word for it, but you have that adrenal rush of somebody's going to hit me and try to hurt me. Yeah, that makes a difference in how explosive you are.
Not even that. When that contract's not signed, you're not lifting the most. You're not running the hardest. You're not doing, heaven forbid you go out there while you're working out and tear something. So there's just, that's a reality. We see it happen. Didn't Slater tear his pec working out last year?
Rashawn Slater?
Yeah, I thought his was a workout one.
Oh, I thought, yeah, maybe, or maybe it was like his first practice back. Was that?
It was something along those lines, but it was you just don't know. And that's the thing, is until the ink's dry on the contract, yeah, you're keeping yourself in shape. And did you catch Baker Mayfield talking about, it might have been the PMT guys. I can't remember who it was, but it might have actually just been a random podcast that I heard him on. But he was talking about his time transferring from Tech to Oklahoma. And because this is pre-NIL and he went, Texas Tech was barring his transfer to Oklahoma. And he just went to the Oklahoma campus and was playing rec sports. I was in rec shape. And I was on campus for almost 2 months. I have not talked to Coach Stoops. I have not talked to anybody in the football program. I'm trying to do this so the NCAA doesn't nail me. And he eventually gets it done, and he goes over to the football complex and introduces himself to Coach Stoops. And Coach Stoops says, oh, so you are on campus. there was this whole thing of is he actually here? Kind of he avoided them like the plague. But he goes, and then I had to go get ready the next day. He asked if I was in shape. I go, yeah, I'm in rec shape. He goes, and we're playing in 2 weeks. I had to ramp up, and it was it sucked. Because just the difference in how they're going about it. You can be an athlete and you can be in shape, but in shape, in pads, freewheeling, no head. When you're playing for the contract, you can't. There's that hesitation in the back of your head. And this isn't just in the NFL. It's across sports. When you're looking at that contract in front of you and it's not signed yet, that fear is just there, front and center. No matter what anybody tells you, you poke them up the truth serum, all of them will tell you, if I'm in a contract period and it's not signed, there is that fear, because it can disappear like that.
Yeah, but at the same token, you hope that a guy who is wanting all this money is sitting there and taking it seriously, right? In that preparation, in that workout, because you do have a lot that you're playing for moving forward. And I think the interesting part about what Brandon Ayuk in that whole saga, we were talking about kind of, as everybody was in the dark, who was at fault? Who was at fault? Who is responsible for all of this happening? And I was leaning more and more towards Brandon Ayuk as time wore on. And as that thing got deeper and deeper, and we started to learn a little bit more of that steady trickle of information that was coming out, of he was given the opportunity to go and look everywhere. He was given, a contract that the Niners said, this is the most that we could possibly offer you. And then Brandon Ayuk yesterday, after his first day at practice, said this.
I think, I'm not going to lie, I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was like that from. I'm not gonna say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
Think about that.
Much ado about nothing.
I made it more difficult than I needed to in the end. And like all of the posturing, and this is kind of like everything that we went through. Remember, it was about a little over a month ago, right? Right when training camp started. It was what, the Christian McCaffrey interview where he called him a former teammate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like that's
which
when
is targeted
it was like
in specific.
At the peak of the ugliness between the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. And then he said, for about the past month, we've been good, which was the code for he was still trying to pry out any money he could, but he knew exactly what the contract offer was going to be from San Francisco. And I still don't understand what his goal was in his handling of it, because, I mean, he says it, I made it more difficult than it needed to be. What was he angling for?
He doesn't know what he wants. This is what I mean when you talk about the wide receiver. What is it? The wide receiver tweet, right? The typical quarterback tweet, which is something along the lines of "Love my teammates, God is good." The running back tweet, mm-hmm. which is "Keep grinding." Tight end tweet, derp. Wide receiver tweet: "The enemy speaks kindly and holds a knife."
Yep.
Like that's wide receiver brain. That's what I mean. Like it's like a freaking brain worm, man. And it just gets in that position. I don't understand why it's so inherent in that position group. I would love to see like an actual psychological scientific study on the brain of wide receivers and why it is so fundamentally different from other position groups.
It's the elite ones. Like, yeah. The truly elite ones are the ones that have that. And it's not all of them. The outliers are guys like Larry Fitzgerald, right, who you don't hear anything from.
No.
But you have the guys like Stephon Diggs and Brandon Ayuk and, heck, Michael Irvin when he was playing, right? And these guys kind of stick out over history. It's weird. I'm watching that show, Receivers, when they were following, you know, Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams, you didn't get that feeling out of either one of those guys, though. You know, Justin Jefferson has a grill and he does the gritty and comes up with end zone dances, but you didn't get that feeling watching that show that he was cut from the same cloth as Brandon Ayuk as far as whatever it was. What did you say the receiver tweet is? The enemy sleeps in darkness.
No, the
whatever.
Oh God!
The enemy speaks softly and carries a large knife.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you didn't get that feeling from Justin Jefferson in that. But boy, that tweet. If there is anything that sums up Brandon Ayuk, that's it right there. Because he even had remember his emoji Instagram post of it was just money talks. A BS walks. It was like, dude, you took the offer that they gave you at the beginning of training camp. What are you talking about?
I'm sure he can justify that and move that around however he needs to.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It's like, whatever.
Well, Brandon Ayuk, way to go, man. You proved all of our points, and you did it in dramatic fashion on your first day back. Hey, also, of note from the 49ers, the teen that shot Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, charged with attempted murder.
Yeah, I would say that qualifies as attempted murder.
Love to see
shooting
it.
Shooting a guy in the chest, I think that would definitely qualify as attempted murder. And so a 17-year-old who shot Pearsall in an attempted robbery, now charged with attempted murder. So, police.
Good.
Yeah. All right, hour number two. This rivalry is so back, and I cannot wait to see it on Saturday. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.